I think. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to pray to start things off. Father God, I ask that you'll be helping me tonight to deliver your word faithfully. I ask as we look into your word, you'll be preparing our hearts to receive the message that you want us to hear. Lord, use my weakness to do your will and show your strength and your glory. Amen. Well, yeah, Summerfest. It was so good. I'm just going to plug it. If you are a regular member of this church, and you should do it next year. That's, yeah. I don't know. I feel like for me, I saw the body of Christ working in a way that you don't often get to see throughout the year. And it was incredible. And I think that if you're a regular member here, you should get amongst it. About a year ago now, my wife and I, we went to South America, to Peru for our honeymoon, and we went to this place called Machu Picchu, which you may have heard of. It's kind of popular. Anyway, when you go to Machu Picchu, right, you go to there's a city over there called Cusco, which is kind of where you start to go to Machu Picchu. Anyway, there's heaps of treks. There's heaps of people selling different treks. You can do longer ones, shorter ones, more adventurous ones, more, I guess, laborious ones. And we kind of tried to choose a fun one. It was pretty fun. And anyway, most of them end in the same town, which is right at the bottom of kind of the mountain that you go up to see the site. And so you stay there overnight, and then at about 4 a.m. you wake up and you walk with pretty much every other tourist that's in that town, or walk in early morning down to the kind of ticket place where you prove that you've got a ticket to go up. And then you start this massive walk just up heaps of steps. And it takes forever and it sucks. And it's like you're in this, because it's kind of like a rainforest, so you're just underneath the canopy as you're going up and it's hot and muggy. And you're like, it's like 5 a.m. Why am I sweating so much? And you're just going up and it's so hard and so uncomfortable. And then you finally get there after a couple of hours of just walking up the steep steps. And you're like, this is incredible. It was so worth it. I don't care how tired and uncomfortable I feel right now. It was raining. And that's kind of what it looks like. Except it was not, the weather was not like that. It was like raining and wet, obviously, because it's raining. And so you get there and you're like, this is glorious, this is incredible. That was so worth it. And that's kind of hopefully going to be the big idea tonight. No matter what the cost, following Jesus is worth it. During the teaching series at Summerfest this week, we were looking at Jesus' encounters. So we're going through in the Gospel of John, we're going through different people and their encounters with Jesus and how that encounter basically changed their life. So we heard about this guy, Nathanael, and when he encountered Jesus, he was like, realized that Jesus knew him so well. He pretty much wrote Jesus off beforehand and then finally met him and Jesus was like, proved to him that he knew him so well. Then we looked at the Samaritan woman who Jesus basically damaged his reputation by talking to her and by loving her and caring for her. And then the last person that we looked at last night was Thomas, who doubts Jesus. He's the one who doubts that Jesus has risen from the dead. And a few weeks later, Jesus knew exactly what he needed to believe, even though he hadn't spoken or seen Thomas before that. Tonight, we're going to finish our series by looking at one of Jesus' closest disciples, the Apostle Peter, and an encounter that I think actually changes Peter's life forever. You may know this, but some quick background knowledge for this passage. Earlier on in, I guess, Peter's life and relationship with Jesus, he denies Jesus three times just before Jesus dies on the cross. He says to people, ask him, do you know Jesus? Were you with him? And he's like, I don't know him. I was never with him. I don't know what you're talking about. He completely writes Jesus off, saying, I have no affiliation with this guy, three times. And I think that in this passage tonight, Jesus wants to show Peter and teach Peter the cost of following him. That despite his denial, Jesus is willing to give him another chance. A second chance for Peter to follow Jesus in love. And then again, like I said, there, we see a reality that there is a cost to following Jesus, that it's going to be hard, but it will be worth it in the end. So start by looking at verses 15 to 17. Love Jesus, then follow Jesus. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So here we've got this interaction, right, between Jesus and Peter. And as I briefly mentioned, Peter had recently denied any kind of connection with Jesus. So I think Jesus is kind of putting him to the test here. He's like saying, he's trying to show Peter what it means to love him. And at the same time, kind of counteracting those three times that he had denied knowing Jesus previously. And I think that the key thing isn't in the three times Peter says, "Yes, I love you." It's actually in the three times Jesus commands him to do something after. He follows those confessions of love from Peter with a command for Peter. Peter says, "Yes, I love you, Jesus." And Jesus is like, "Okay, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." I think Jesus is saying, if you really love me, Peter, show me. Go and care for the people I love. Go and care for those who are in my kingdom, whom I care for. You see, Jesus is telling Peter, you can't be in love with me. You can't love me and confess your love with me and not do anything about it and have no action with that, not demonstrate your love by the way you live. I don't know where everyone here is at with God, whether you believe in him or not. Maybe you are still checking him out. But for the people who want to confess their love for Jesus, it needs to be demonstrated by the way we live. We actually need to follow him, and that's the same as Peter. And in this encounter, that is what Jesus is trying to show Peter. Care for my sheep, feed my lambs. The way I liked to think about it was sporting fans, right? If you are a sporting fan, you obviously, maybe you buy a jersey, you go to the games, you love the team, you watch the games, you talk about when they win, maybe you try to be quiet when they lose. But it's pretty obvious, I think, when someone loves a team, they do certain things that make it very obvious. No one's going to believe you if you say that you love a sporting team but never wear the jersey, never go to the games, never know where they are in the comp or who plays for that team. But it isn't hard to see the people who genuinely love them, because they genuinely follow and invest in that team. It's the same with Jesus. If we're going to say we love him, it needs to be demonstrated by the way we follow him. But Jesus goes on to show Peter that that's not it. It's actually going to come at a cost as well. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." When I was preparing for this talk, this was the bit that confronted me the most. This was the bit that kind of hit me the most. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? Jesus is like, "Hey, Peter, you were going to die because of me, but follow me anyway. Hey, Peter, you're going to be..." Well, history tells us, right, that Peter was actually crucified upside down. And they actually say that the reason that happened is because Peter didn't see himself fit to die in the same way as Jesus by being crucified upright. So just imagine a guy on that, but the opposite way. That's Peter dying. He was tortured for the name of Christ. What a turnaround, right? You've got this guy who's like, I don't know him. I don't have anything to do with him. I've never hung out with him. To being upside down on a cross saying, I'm not fit to die the same way. This encounter with Jesus must have done something real in Peter's heart. I don't know about you, but for me, if someone came up to me, Joel came up to me and said, hey, Braden. And I was like, hey, Joel. He's like, follow me, man. You're going to die. It's going to cost you your life. You're going to be tortured to death, but just follow me anyway. I'm not going to follow Joel. Sorry, mate. You're on your own. But I'd like to put it to you that I think that Jesus is doing the same thing to you and I. Follow me. It's going to cost you your life. But do it anyway. Maybe we're not going to be crucified upside down. I highly doubt it for us. Maybe we probably won't even be murdered at all. Maybe not. But what I think Jesus might be saying to us is that he wants your whole life when you follow him. He doesn't want you to be a Christian when you're at Summerfest. He doesn't want you to just be a... He wants you to be a Christian at Summerfest, but not just at Summerfest. He doesn't want you to just be a Christian here at church or at youth. He wants your whole life. And this might not mean changing everything. It might not. But it could mean that it's going to cost you something. It could mean it'll cost you a lot. Maybe it'll cost you getting drunk or doing drugs on the weekend or something. Maybe it'll cost sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe it will cost you things online that you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe it will cost you some friends. Maybe you'll get bullied or persecuted for being a Christian. Maybe it'll cost you relationships with family or friends. Maybe your job or your popularity or something. Maybe it genuinely will cost you your life. But Jesus, in the same way he said to Peter, he's saying, follow me anyway. Now, in verse 20 to 23, judging by Peter's reaction, I'm not sure he gets it yet. If you know anything about Peter, he was a slow learner. And he's still slow here. I don't have this one on the screen because I basically just forgot to put it in. But I'll read it out to you guys. This is 20 to 23. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. We might not read verse 23. We might just end it there. So Peter basically turns to Jesus and goes, what about him? You just said, I'm going to die, but what about him? Now, it's known that that disciple was most likely John, who wrote this gospel. And Jesus is like, what about him? What about John, Jesus? Peter's not stopping to follow, is he? He's not following Jesus. He's worried about this guy. Jesus kind of doesn't have it. Hey, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus seems to be quite confrontational. I think if you're a Christian here tonight, I would like to claim that for a fact you have done this. You have pulled a Peter. You've looked at someone else and thought, what about their sin? What about what they're doing wrong? Why is that person not on as many rosters as me? They're not pulling their weight. Why is this guy preaching again? Why is my life so hard at the moment and not that person's? Why does that guy have such a good career? He doesn't work that many hours, gets paid heaps. Why is mine so boring? We're all pulling a Peter. I don't know what that might look for you, but we are pulling a Peter. And Jesus is like, I can do whatever I want with their life. Stop worrying about it and follow me. That's what he's probably saying to people in here right now. This week at Summerfest, I was a part of the youth team. And normally kind of like one of my roles here at this church is that I get to coordinate and will help coordinate the youth ministry. And I found myself being a part of this team, not involved in kind of any coordinating of Summerfest, pulling a Peter. I was like, how come how come God is letting these three people lead the team? And I think this is probably because of my pride, pardon me. And Jesus, I think, was saying to me, if I want Demi, Joel, and Tom to lead, what is that to you? Follow me. We need to follow Jesus at any cost, no matter the cost. Joel and Taylor, I'm talking about you a lot tonight, eh? Joel and Taylor, you saw Joel up here earlier, the members of our church, there they are. They are getting married tomorrow, and they will be making promises to one another that no matter what the cost is, they're going to stay together. They're going to care for each other, support one another, even if they have to die for the other person. It's huge. In fact, I think that the vows you make at a Christian wedding, death is really the only way out. It's a total commitment for life to one another, no matter the cost. And I think Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. Total commitment to Him, loving Him, following Him, no matter the cost. I've got two questions I want to pose. If you're a Christian, are you giving up everything for Christ? Are you giving Him your whole life? But if you're here considering Jesus and you're not sure, you wouldn't say you believe, maybe you don't believe in God at all, would you be willing to make that change that Jesus is calling? Like Peter, are you willing to confess your love for Him and give your life to Jesus, no matter the cost? I'm going to move on to my last point now, but I want you to keep those two questions in your mind, maybe whatever camp you're in. I'm going to look now that cost is actually worth it. Maybe you're sitting here like, why would I, give my life to this guy? What's the point? What am I getting out of it? But let me assure you that every cost for following Jesus is worth it. This is verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. What a crazy image that is, eh? And for me, I think this is an interesting... When I first read this, I was like, it's a weird way for John to end his gospel. What's he getting at? I think it does two things. The first thing, I think it just shows how great Jesus is. He's done so many amazing things, there's not enough room in the world for the books that would be written. But the second thing I think that it does, and maybe the more important thing, is it forces us to look back at what he's done and what John has written. And when we do that, we fully see that what Jesus has done makes any cost to follow him worth it. Right? You've got Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus who loved the oppressed. We learned at Summerfest this week, Demi told us about how he cared for the Samaritan woman, even damaging his reputation to love her. We talked about Thomas and how Jesus knew exactly what Thomas needed to help him believe. Jesus did so many things and people who encountered him were changed in just incredible ways. But the most incredible thing that Jesus does for us is the same thing that I think he does for Peter and the same thing that is Peter's motivation as he goes on to teach the gospel to many people and to end up being a martyr, to dying for his faith. It's the thing that saved both us and Peter from our sin. In the Bible, it tells us that we've rebelled against God. Like Peter, we have denied who Jesus is. We reject him, and that drives this huge divide between us and God. We can't have a relationship with God anymore. We can't fix it. We can't mend it. And because of it, we must be separated from him. Because of our rejection, we separate ourselves from God. But the great and amazing thing that I just mentioned that Jesus did is saving us from our own denial. He's removing that divide to bring us back together. The very man whose existence you and I deny went to the cross to die for us, to save us from that damaged relationship. You see, we're not the rulers of our own lives. God created us. We are His. And if we don't believe that, we are doing the same thing as Peter and denying God. And we all do it. No one here is exempt. No one's achieved perfection except Jesus. He's the only one who came to this earth and lived a perfect life. He never denied God's rule in his life. He was always following God's call and path and obedient to God's will in his life. And because of that, and then he gave up that perfection. His own perfection. He gave it up to die in our place, to remove that divide for us. And because of that, we get to be reunited into a relationship with God. We get to spend eternity in His glory. And I tell you, there will be nothing better than that. Just like Maren and I walking up those stairs, it cost a lot, it was hard. But it was so worth it. I'll tell you, when you're actually up there, that doesn't even capture it. I don't know if you've been there, if anyone here's been there before, but you almost get a 360 view of those kind of mountains just around you. And you're just in this, like, I don't know how to explain it. It truly is one of the most indescribable things I've experienced in my life. But they're just towering around you, and you're just there like, what? It's amazing. What Jesus has in store for us is so much more glorious. And I'm going to read a little bit from Revelation 21, where the Bible kind of talks about the glory of heaven. If we can get that up. I'm going to read this whole thing. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So maybe context. John has a vision of what heaven's going to be like. God gives John a vision, the same John, of what heaven is going to be like in this book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. That relationship is fixed, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." That is why Peter gave everything to follow Jesus. It took him a long time. He didn't get it quick. But then when he did, he went all guns blazing. He knew the future glory he would receive with God the Father in heaven. Now I'm actually going to invite the band up now. I forgot to tell you this, sorry. We're going to sing a song that talks about how Christ has achieved this glory for us in heaven. And that the cost of following Him is so worth it that we will walk beside our King in heaven. And as we sing this song, I want you to keep thinking about those two questions that I put to you earlier on. If you were a Christian, are you giving up everything for Christ, no matter the cost? And if you're not sure where you stand before God, are you willing to make that change no matter the cost? Like Peter, are you willing to confess your love and give your life to Jesus, even though it will cost you a lot? But you will be reunited in perfect relationship with the Father, where He will dwell among us. It's going to be more glorious than anything else. Doesn't matter what the cost is. Maybe Jesus is saying to you right now, it's going to cost you your life, but follow me anyway. Maybe we can all stand and sing. I've never had to say that before.